have to read the whole book of Galatians, but I won't, so don't get worried. I suppose I can't because it would look then like I hadn't done my homework. But whatever I do, I hope it's in a way of encouraging you. That's the difference between the law and the gospel. The law discourages you, and the gospel encourages you. The law says there is no hope. The gospel says there is nothing but hope. But let me read part of Galatians. Galatians 5:25, toward the end. If we live by the Spirit, let us also walk by the Spirit. Let us have no self-conceit, no provoking of one another, no envy of one another. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Look to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something, when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor. For each man will have to bear his own load. Let him who is taught the word share all good things with him who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked, for whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption, but he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we do not lose heart. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are the household of faith. See with what large letters I am writing to you with my own hand. It is those who want to make a good showing in the flesh that would compel you to be circumcised, and only in order that they may not be persecuted for the cross of Christ. For even those who receive circumcision do not themselves keep the law, but they desire to have you circumcised, that they may glory in your flesh. But far be it from me to glory except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by which the world has been crucified to me, and I to the world. For neither circumcision counts for anything, nor uncircumcision, but a new creation. Peace and mercy be upon all who walk by this rule, upon the Israel of God. Henceforth let no man trouble me, for I bear on my body the marks of Jesus. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit, brethren. Amen. It was long, but it wasn't the whole book. The law provides referees to make judgments on each one of us. Its basis is the sin of man, and it never hesitates in pointing that out to each of us. Thank you. Indeed, we are all too often quite willing to point that out to one another. 2 evenings ago, in this room, there was something which prompted people to speak during the Vespers. And they spoke in placing the law before one another, or whatever requirements were necessary in order to get along together. We are willing to serve as custodians and as referees. As Carol translates this one word in an earlier part of Galatians, in Galatians 3, now before the faith came, we were confined under the law, kept under restraint until faith should be revealed, so that the law was our custodian, and that's the word we would maybe, you could include, some translations use the word instructor. This is the one where Carol suggests referee. So that the law was our referee until Christ came that we might be justified by faith. But now that faith has come, we are no longer under a referee. For in Christ Jesus you are all sons of God through faith. And then back to this one part that I read before. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. The law of Christ. What is that? We hear of the law of Moses, the Ten Commandments, the Decalogue. But how is it there is a law of Christ? Is it the same as the law of Moses? Or are there two laws? There are indeed two. There is the law of righteousness of Moses, or in the form of political righteousness, ceremonial righteousness, or good works righteousness, or the work ethic righteousness. These are all right and even necessary, as long as they don't include any power to make satisfaction for sins. Then there is Christian righteousness. And this is passive as far as man is concerned, for it doesn't call for any work on his part. It is free, and it is He, God, who does the work. He, God, is active in us. He is working, and we are not. So we are passive, and He is active. Whereas in the law of Moses, we are active, and God is passive. A Christian righteousness in which we are passive is a mystery which we cannot fully grasp. It takes continual reminding to one another, continual exercising, continual encouragement to one another that we need not feel burdened by our own judgment on ourselves, or on the judgment by someone else upon us by way of a custodian or a referee. If we are plagued by what we have done, what we have been, or what we are today, then we are being confined by a referee. If we are pushed into the ground by pangs of conscience, then we have been laid hold of by the devil. For in the devil there is sin. In Christ, there is no sin. A couple of verses from 1 John. Everyone who commits sin is guilty of lawlessness. Sin is lawlessness. You know that he appeared to take away sins, and in him there is no sin. No one abides in him. No one who abides in him sins. No one who sins has either seen him or known him. Little children, let no one deceive you. He who does right is righteous, as he is righteous. He who commits sin is of the devil, for the devil has sinned from the beginning. The reason the Son of God appeared was to destroy the works of the devil. No one born of God commits sin. No one born of God commits sin. For God's nature abides in him, and he cannot sin because he is born of God. By this it may be seen who are the children of God and who are the children of the devil. Whoever does not do right is not of God, nor he who does not love his brother. The law of Moses, or if you prefer, the law of the Ten Commandments, the law of the Decalogue, may move a person into knowing the predicament he is in, but there it must end. That law speaks to the old man, but it can move him into becoming a new man. Let's not be referees of one another. One has to be so cautious around referees for fear of his blowing the whistle. If people are referees of me, I can't be honest with them. If we are free of referees, then we are saved by something far beyond our own relationships and personal judgments. Then we are bearing one another's burdens and so fulfilling the law of Christ. This is Christian righteousness, being righted by Christ. Each of us has that chance of righteousness. No one can deny it to another, since it comes from above, even like rain. It flows regardless of what happens below. Because it is hard to believe, and even impossible to believe, we need the intervention of God through Christ, through his Spirit, and through one another, in encouragement of that promise. That's what living together means. That's what preaching his word in matins or in vespers or in the service is all about. Let's encourage one another in that promise. Amen.